Hello and welcome to the Evoke Ag podcast. I'm your host, Martin Cudahy. This series was recorded live at Evoke Ag 2024 in Perth and explores the exceptional edge of agri-food tech innovation and a relentless pursuit of innovation at a critical juncture in time. Since the inception of Evoke Ag, Elders has played a pivotal role in bringing the event together, with a deep linkage to agriculture in all its forms right across the country. Elders prioritises innovation and sustainability. In this episode, our contributor Jane Cudahy sat down with Dave McKeon, head of Thomas Elder Sustainable Agriculture for Elders.
Dave, tell me a little bit about you. You've been around the Elder sphere for a while, but you know, you've really come back to the business recently.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. It's a bit of a journey, I suppose, and like all of us through our careers and through our lives, sometimes things come around and do a full loop. So look, for me and my background is off a family farm in Western New South Wales, and we've still got family farming interests there out at Hillston, and have sort of worked in everything progressing through from farm management into spend a bit of time in the federal government in Canberra in public policy development through to really spent then a number of years bridging the gap between policy development and the practicalities of farming with the National Farmers Federation, then Grain Girls Limited, and more recently have stepped into a new role at Elders, a new innovation growth venture, which is really exciting to be part of.
Yeah, and I guess part of the reason you're here at Evoke, Elders has been a long-term sponsor, I think one of the partner sponsors since its inception. So, you know, from Elders' point of view, how have you watched this relationship develop, especially in the ag tech realm?
It's a really exciting thing to be part of, Jane. The Evoke Ag is such a unique conference, but it's more than just a conference. What it does is creates a whole ecosystem around, you know, those relationships between those very many elements right across that ag tech ecosystem, you know, right from the startups and the entrepreneurs through to the investment community, right through to the researchers, the government agencies, and ultimately that most important stakeholder, the farmer at the end of the day, where we absolutely, you know, need to see that uptake. So it's a really exciting thing to be part of, and Elders is really pleased that we've been able to grow and share on that journey alongside the growth of Evoke Ag and alongside the growth of the ag tech ecosystem in Australia.
Where do you see that ecosystem? Like, it is a large ecosystem and a broad church. So, you know, how do you see it from Elders' point of view?
I think if we take a step back pre-Evoke Ag, so if we look back a decade or so, the Australian ag tech ecosystem looked very different. If we sort of think about some of those key building blocks that we now have in the fundamentals around that ag tech ecosystem, you know, we now have a whole range of everything from incubators through to accelerators through to venture capital funds and a whole lot of great commercial partnerships that have come out of that. And we've seen some really great commercial growth in a lot of ag tech companies across Australia. So as a community, you know, there's been a lot of collaboration, a lot of growth, and we really do have a really thriving ag tech ecosystem, I feel, in Australia at the moment. We've still got a lot more room to do, a lot more growing to do, and really, you know, I see the next frontier in that space is looking at how we bridge that adoption gap. So how do we ensure that we're making sure we're connecting the right solutions through to resolving those right problems within the farm gate and up and down the agribusiness supply chain? And I think that's where we really need to focus effort as a community over the next few years, ensuring that we're really, you know, getting that connection through from that thriving ag tech ecosystem right through to, you know, the practicalities of farming on the ground.
So do you see Elders as playing that role, as bridging that gap? You know, you've been working with farmers for, I think it was 185 years. Is that how you see your role?
We'd really love to play a role, and we are playing a role in there. We'd love to continue to grow that role. There's a couple of key things, and Elders, you know, we've got a really proud history, and we're really proud of our, I guess, yeah, as you said, 185 years this year in Australian agriculture, working closely with our farming community on their growth, on the evolution of farming in Australia, and yeah, absolutely as part of that ag tech ecosystem. You know, we have a very strong retail and distribution network. There are some missing links between some of the ag tech products communities and being able to distribute them, retail them out to the farming communities. And the other key area is really in that advisory space. So we know, you know, the adoption of ag tech takes a great product, but there's also a whole process around, you know, a farmer assessing new technology, about ensuring it's delivering that return on the investment. And our advisors are well equipped to really support that process with farmers. We're doing some really exciting projects at the moment, partnering with some RDCs and other partners around how we can, as an agribusiness, fill some of that gap in the extension network and across Australia, and really do that in a way that's supporting farmers with some tailored solutions around ag tech on their farm.
Well, I think, you know, solving problems is core business, and I guess people don't adopt technology or that sort of thing unless there is a problem on farm. Extension is a silver bullet issue for most of the ag sector. So can you think of some examples or anecdotes where you can get in and fill that space?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of areas. So if we think about the role, for example, an agronomist plays with a farmer on a regular basis, looking at their paddock planning all the way through to recording the use of inputs on the farm. Farm management software is an area where advisory agronomist team and our livestock production advisors work close with farmers every day, and farm management software tools are a real key part of that. But what we're seeing more and more is this really great collaborative approach across the AgTech ecosystem, where we're layering a whole range of products into that system. So that's connecting it through with a whole lot of other data sets. So whether it's earth observation and satellite data, connecting through to sensor networks on the ground and packaging that together to help farmers make decisions. We've sort of got a number of real, you know, real life scenarios out on the ground where it's really great to see, you know, we're not just looking at a single solution from an ag tech perspective, but we're layering a whole lot of really great partnered products together and then delivering an ultimate solution for a farmer.
One of the areas that you are working in is the Thomas Elder Sustainable Agriculture. But what is it? What is the Thomas Elder Sustainable Agriculture Program?
Yeah, thanks, Jane. It's Thomas Elder Sustainable Ag, or as we like to call it internally at Elders, it's a TESA.
Oh, good. TESA's a lot better. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, nice and catchy.
Yeah.
So at TESA, we're a new part of Elders, and so I've been brought in and joined Elders about 7 or 8 months ago to really help establish TESA. We are a new external innovation venture for Elders with a bit of a lens of sustainable agriculture over the top. So within TESA, we've got a really fantastic team with deep technical subject matter knowledge, helping support and work and enable across the Elders network in three key areas. Firstly is research and extension partnerships. So we're partnering really closely with government agencies, research and development corporations, and research agencies to really look at cutting edge research and also look at that extension landscape and how we can support farmers with adoption of that research. So that's first one's research and extension. Secondly is new products and services across the Elders portfolio. We've been around for 185 years of business. Agriculture's changed. It will continue to. We see a lot of growth opportunity for new products and services. Ag tech is a really big part of that. So ensuring that we're able to partner with the right suppliers to build retail categories within the ag tech space, but also exploring new services within ag tech and a whole range of other areas is the second one, so new products and services. And then thirdly is sustainability services. So one area where we have seen a lot of change in the ag tech ecosystem, which we might talk about in a little bit, is sustainability.
Oh, what a word. Yes. Speaking of broad churches, but yes.
Yes. So we're building out sustainability services. We've got a small carbon farming team doing some really great work in that space. And for us, we're coming from an agricultural farming background and looking at how carbon farming can really complement farming systems. It's not an either or, but it's got to be an and. And how can farmers continue to have a really thriving agricultural business above the ground and complement that with a carbon farming project beneath the ground?
So do you think when you're speaking to farmers and working with them, is it generally accepted now that sustainability is part of the business, whether it be with you, you know, answering to the bank on some of those targets or, you know, just being best practice on ground? Is that generally accepted that sustainability is part of it?
I think, Jane, what it comes back to is sustainability means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I think we can probably establish that right from the start and depending, yeah, and it will be different, absolutely. What is sustainable and Australian farmers, I think it's a continuing journey and I think we need to, when we're talking about sustainability, recognise that the way we farm in Australia is very different now to the way we farmed 20 or 30 years ago. If we look at something simply as water use efficiency in the grains industry, 100 mils of growing season rainfall 30 years ago we would have no crop in a dust bowl. Now with that rain, with genetic technology, farming systems, whole lot of new and emerging inputs, farmers are, with 100 mils of growing season rainfall, are doing 1.5 ton cereal crops. So we've had amazing advancements in becoming more sustainable, but we'll continue to. At Elders, we recently did a really large piece of farmer research to understand their motives, drivers behind, from a sustainability perspective, what they're doing on farm, why they're doing it, and where it fits. So
what are they doing? Tell me, what did the research tell you?
So as part of that, what it really showed us, Jane, was up the front end, farmers are really focused on practice change in the next few years. First and foremost, the very vast majority of farmers are looking at improving soil health, and they're looking at water use efficiency and water management in from an irrigation perspective as well. And so rain fed in the water use efficiency space. And then it sort of cascades down from there. And so you've got over 90% of farmers looking to change practices from a sustainability perspective at that end of the spectrum. When you cascade it down to something like emissions reduction, what it said was about 50% of farmers at this point of time are actually really actively looking at how they can make some of those practice changes on farm. So there's, I guess, a whole range of things that farmers can do on farm. And I think it's important to realise that none of this is mutually exclusive either. So there will be practices that are improving soil health, water use efficiency. They're absolutely going to have emissions reduction factors for the farm as well. When we look at the drives that sit behind those changes, there's some really interesting things that are happening there as well. And it's really interesting that the biggest driver that we've found from our research is that Australian farmers are making these sustainability changes to meet the sustainability objectives of their business first and foremost. So they're focused on how can they continue to be a really profitable, productive business that leaves the land in better condition than when they took it on for the next generation coming through. So that's the biggest driver that we're hearing from farmers on that sustainability journey. But it comes right through to the other key drivers are everything from looking at what future requirements might come down from an ESG or an environmental, social and governance perspective in the next few years. So farmers are really closely looking at what does that practically mean on farm. And I think there's a lot of noise around that, and we've really got to cut through to the practicalities in the next few years pretty quickly on what it actually means for a farmer, what they need to know and how we can support them through that process. The other drivers are looking at things like global market opportunities as well. And so there are a range of ways which farmers, you know, in some areas can attract a premium, but quite often it's just a ticket to play. And to maintain market access, there's a whole range of, you know, practices they're having to undertake, which are, you know, deemed as sustainability.
Do you think they're becoming more proactive in finding that out, though? Are all farmers looking to those targets? You said that the ones that you researched, they're the drivers for them, but is it a broad uptake?
Yeah, I think from a sustainability perspective, and again, it goes back to that definition of sustainability. Mm. You know, it's been quite a journey. The way we're farming today in Australia, it's evolved rapidly and it will continue to. So absolutely, Australian farmers are continuing to seek that out. Yeah, Australian farmers, their exposure to, you know, an increasingly variable climate, they're at the forefront of that. You know, they've been dealing with climate volatility and seasonal conditions for generations now. So they absolutely know, you know, the volatility of operating in Australia, the volatility of our production systems, the volatility of our weather, which exceeds all of their international peers. And they understand, as well as that, the volatility of the market risk without, you know, government support that we have with our international peers. Australian farmers are much more exposed to market risk as well. So Australian farmers are really well adapted to operating in an environment where they're making the most out of what they have. And what we do find is if we think across some of the areas where Australian farmers are really pushing adaptivity, we're over here in Western Australia at the moment. And it's really exciting to look at the cropping systems across here. Last year was a little bit smaller, but they had some really big crops in the prior year. And they're doing it off really thin, shallow, sandy soils and a very low amount of rainfall if we look from an international comparison perspective. So those tougher conditions really do actually help bring out that change, that innovation, that adaptivity. And that's really the basis of farming in Australia.
It's time to plan your trip to the Sunshine State, because early bird tickets to AgriFutures Evoke Ag 2025 in Brisbane are officially on sale until Wednesday, the 31st of July 2024. In partnership with Elders, Brisbane Economic Development Agency and the Queensland Government, Evoke Ag 2025 will land on the 18th and 19th of February 2025. Get your tickets now at evokeag.com.
We touched on carbon before, and there are, you know, a lot of work being done in that space, especially in terms of soil health and benchmarking that sort of information, because we know what's coming. So, you know, we're all on that same page. What kind of projects are you seeing from farmers?
Yeah, Jane, we're working really closely with farmers. So we've got a small but really hard-working, really strong carbon farming team at Elders. And we're working really closely with farmers to support them through that carbon farming journey. So we know and we understand that the carbon farming is not going to be suitable for every farmer in every location with the current methodologies and system we have in Australia under the ACCU scheme. So we know that. So look, our approach to the carbon farming business is that we support farmers through that entire journey. Everything from starting at the start with, you know, the on-farm emissions assessments, doing a carbon feasibility report, actually understanding what's the carbon potential within that business, looking at different land management strategies that they may undertake in that business, and then supporting farmers through that journey of establishing a project, engaging with the regulator, managing the ongoing establishment of that process. So there's a number of different business structures operating in the carbon farming space, but really where we come from, you know, as a core agricultural business at our heart, you know, we're going to be focused on farming, we're going to be focused on the best outcome from the farmer, that agriculture production system, and where we can support farmers to explore other opportunities to sort of add additional value to that. That's really where we're coming from.
Yeah. What are the challenges in the next, you know, let's go 12 months, we're looking into the next 12 months, what are the major challenges for farmers in the agri-tech space?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. For me, and being here at Evoke the last few days, I think we are getting a little bit more refined with actually understanding what the problems are we're trying to solve and how the solutions fit and work together. But for me, there's a whole lot of sizzle, and we've got to get to the steak in the ag tech world. Well, what I mean with that is that there is a lot of hype, there's a lot of noise, there's a whole lot of different operators in the market. So for the Australian farmer out there at the moment, and whether you're in the Eastern Wheatbelt of WA or the Darling Downs of Queensland, you've got to be able to, I guess, look at this whole broad range of opportunities out there and look at how they can best be applied to your business. Some of the changes that we have seen probably over the last decade in the application of some of these technologies is really the growth in what farmers exploring or looking at, and as we've already discussed, from the sustainability perspective. So that's probably something that we didn't have a focus as much, so much 10 years ago. So if we look at some of the really big growth 10 years ago and the opportunity in digital ag, it was all productivity production in based on profitability of farm. What we're seeing now is a larger proportion of that being based on a range of sustainability metrics. But the really exciting thing that has been great to see is we're actually deploying in a lot of circumstances the same technology. So if we're looking at satellite technology and earth observation, or if we're looking at sensor technology or drone deployment to capture data sets, or if we're looking at the analytics behind how we look at those, quite often we're actually deploying a lot of the same technology that was resolving, farm productivity issues to actually capture some data sets, analyse those, and or deliver a solution that is meeting either a global market demand or is actually delivering reporting that helps support environmental credentials.
So they're the challenges. What are the opportunities? And I know you've touched on a few of them, but I want some specifics, please.
Specific opportunities? Look, the real buzzword about in the last couple of days has really been about AI. Oh,
there we go. Yeah, there it is.
So it would be remiss of me not to, mention AI.
Do you see that? Just before we go into that, do you see that on farm with the work that you're doing now? Are farmers using AI? Like, we heard from a Keysent Note speaker yesterday that, you know, maybe we aren't using it, but then if you actually speak to industry, it is actually being used a lot through a lot of the work that we're doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of it has been applied for many years. We just probably haven't termed it that way. So it's a little bit different, but we've had a lot of talk about machine learning. So whether we're looking at spot spraying solutions and green and brown or brown and green, and how do sensors actually understand what's a plant and what type of plant it is and some of those things, and will machine learn over time, right through to, you know, designing algorithms that continue to run different analytics on a set of data. We've been doing it for many years, but it's sometimes the simple things that are actually really cool. And the conference had finished the first day yesterday, and I was walking outside chatting to a farmer over here in WA, and he had a new mobile phone. And he had actually sat through the whole day yesterday just with record on his new mobile phone, and he had captured all the speakers from all day, and then he just pressed his AI bot and it delivered a summary of each speaker with key points and summarised the day into what were the key messages coming through.
Wow. Just out of interest, how old was this farmer?
I'd hate to try...
Do it in decades.
I'd hate to try and pitch it, but I'd probably put in 50s.
That's amazing. Yeah. I don't think I could do that.
Oh, look, absolutely amazing. So sometimes it's those small things that we don't even think of, but those sort of applications that are coming through now, that's really cool. And the way we can think about, you know, just applying some of those different things. I did say to him, you know, when he's going to be doing his workshop stand-up on Monday morning, you know, he might have a few of his team who are snoozing off just with their phone on, and if he needs to quiz them on what they need to do later, they might just have a task list already generated on their phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he would have loved that too. Yeah.
but
I guess it goes back to that, to not be scared of it. And I think that's when we were talking about it, even though it's obviously being very much adopted and used every day in our landscapes, we still seem to have this resistance to it, even though it's here, we're in it.
Yeah, look, it's here already. Those of us who spend a lot of time sitting in computer drafting reports, some of those sort of things, we're using it regularly to actually just support some of our thinking, stretch some of our thinking, you know, be able to analyse and look at different things. Yeah, so look, the AI is here. The other opportunity that is really exciting, and I've just been in a bit of a talk there, and I think it's really interesting, the intersection between how we deem this as part of sustainability and ag tech, but it's been a big part of the conference discussions here, is looking at the role of biologicals in Australian farming systems.
And that would be interesting from your retail too. So how does that play out from where you sit?
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of interest from the farming community to actually understand what's out there and how various products might perform in a farming system, in a farming situation. What we're hearing from our agronomy team on the ground, who a lot of them have got deep technical expertise in the performance of a whole range of different products, so whether we're looking at biostimulants or biologicals or a whole lot of plant nutrition products, what they're able to sort of, you know, tell us from a lot of their research is that some of these new products coming on the market, there is some caution from the farming community to make sure we've got things right. But within a system, there's the opportunity to not just look at either or a biological or a synthetic-based product, but actually look at how they can actually perform together to deliver an even greater result. So that's some of the early, I guess, things we're hearing.
And to play into some of the sustainability markers as well.
Yeah, there's obviously growing interest and demand from that perspective. But I do think it's important for us as Australian agriculture to keep that practical basis and not walk away from the fundamentals of how farming systems across Australia have developed. And they've been developed off really strong, sound science, independent research that's been independently verified, replicated trials over many years, and strong economic and financial analysis. And I think that's where, you know, we're starting to see some of that work being done in earnest from a whole range of different players in the industries by research agencies and also a lot of the companies bringing these products out. So I really think as our learning continues to grow, as an industry, we will see a growth in that market segment significantly over coming years.
Well, there you go. I didn't think you'd go. you had more opportunities than you thought you did, I'm sure. Dave McKeon, thank you very much for your time today on the Evoke Ag podcast. It's been terrific to speak to you and enjoy the rest of Evoke.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Jane.
You've been listening to the head of Thomas Elders Sustainable Agriculture for Elders, Dave McKeon. For more information on the Evoke Ag 24 event, including links to session recordings or other speaker interviews, visit our website, evokeag.com. Thanks for listening. Evoke Ag acknowledges the First Nations people of Australia as the traditional custodians of the lands and waters on which we live, learn and work. We pay our respects to past, present and future elders of these nations. This podcast series was recorded in the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people of Australia, and we acknowledge them as the traditional custodians of the lands and waters of the region.